Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, talking to Krishna today, and we are doing something kind of been tinkering with here for the last week or so. We are in the process of making an all-star ballot for role players. So we're going to make that ballot. We're going to tweet it out. It's going to be all over Twitter, and you guys are actually going to be able to participate in it. So basically, this episode is explaining what it is, explaining the criteria. We're going to talk about the players we've picked, and then we're going to, when we tweet out the episode, we're going to have the, again, role player all-star ballot for this year. Because obviously, like, the all-star game is fun. It's fun to vote for stars. But the role players, they don't always get the same love that that the stars get, and sometimes I feel like they deserve it. So Krishna, how you doing today? And you got your ballot all filled out for the role players?
Yep, I got my ballot, doing well, and ready to get started.
All right, so the criteria for what we're going to determine as a role player is someone with a total offensive load under 30, and then also they have to play less than 30 minutes a game. So we're going to break it up into guard, wing, and big. For the ballot, you're going to vote for two guards from the player pool, two wings, and then one big. So we're going to start with guards first. And again, the criteria is a total offensive load under 30, which just means you're not doing a ton of work on offense. You're not running the show. It's not flowing through you. And then less than 30 minutes a game. Obviously, you're a role player. You're not playing huge minutes. So, Krishna, you want to start us off with your two guard choices?
Yeah, sure. So my two guard choices were Quentin Grimes, who I believe we kind of discussed on the last episode with a lot with regards to his defense. He showed up very well in like all of our defensive metrics. So I think he was top three in... I think he was one of the 10 players, right? Was it 10 players with an A-plus grade in on-ball defense, ball screen navigation, and off-ball chaser defense? I think that was right?
It wasn't an A-play. It was an A in all three of them.
Okay. And he was one of those, like, how many was it?
It was one of 15 guys that had an A in those. And then he was also top 10 in on-ball isolation defense and then ball screen navigation.
Yeah, so
which
there we
is
go.
Our like your handling of like pick and roll.
Yeah, so there we go. There's so he's obviously, as we discussed in the last episode, elite defensively, and he's shooting pretty well on threes this year, as well. Just I don't have the 3-point shooting grade up, but shooting 36.7% from three. So he was one of the guards. Obviously, like that awesome defense is primarily the main reason he's here.
Here, I have some numbers pulled up because Quentin Grimes was also on my ballot. Pretty solid across the board in a lot of our metrics. Like you said, outstanding on the perimeter defensive ones. A B in overall finishing at the basket. He did The 3-point percentage has been solid, but it's been on really good quality. The catch and shoot shot making is a D, but you know, when you're getting a quality from your team and you're still putting him in at about a league average rate, you're not really hurting there. And then also a B overall playmaking grade. So across the board, he's been a solid player. There's been pretty good production. He's at a true shooting plus of 106 for the season, which is 6% above league average efficiency wise, which out of a role player is fantastic. The two things that really popped out for me was the B plus rim shot making. So he's not self creating a ton to get to the rim, but when he's finishing around the rim, it's very good, especially for a guard. And then the playmaking grade. Again, he's not doing a ton of ball handling, a ton of playmaking, but when he does do it, he has an A in our passing quality stat. So again, really, really high quality passes, and that's really helping his playmaking grade. So really solid across the board in a lot of our metrics, and obviously shining on defense.
Do you want to give your other guard while I kind of pull up some stats for my guard?
Yeah, sure. So the other guy, I actually had the I was lucky enough to see him play. Wait, have I not told this story on the podcast? So I've never been to a basketball game before. I'm 30 years old, never been to an NBA game. And I went to the Lakers-Hornets game. It was on the 23rd. It was the day before Christmas Eve. So I'm in San Diego. Me and a friend, we drive up to L.A. I've never been to crypto.com arena, you know, go there, walk around it, go inside. Everyone's having a good time. I'm watching the Lakers warm up and I'm seeing Austin Reeves warm up. And he has been a real bright spot for the Lakers this year. Second year player, having a fantastic year. He has an A in our playmaking grade, B in the mid range, B finishing. I think he was number three in our on ball, which is our isolation perimeter defense metric. So he has been fantastic across the board. He's been a big I don't know where Lakers would be this year without him, because again, really solid defender, good across the board on offense. He has a 120 true shooting plus on 11 points a game this year, and that is like insane efficiency. So like Steph Curry's true shooting plus for his career is like 115. So you're getting into like the level of like absurd efficiency of like centers only dunking the ball. So Reeves definitely earned it. The efficiency really helped. Again, there is some volume there. It's double digit points. And then obviously the on ball defense grade just being so good. But he's got some intangibles too that the all in ones do capture on some levels. But oh man, he's got the heart of the fans. He had MVP chance going. I think he scored like 9 straight points in a game earlier this month. There was MVP chance going at Staples or at crypto.com arena. So yeah, Austin Reeves has my other slot. But okay, so back to the story of me at the game, right? So we're watching the game and the Lakers are playing the Hornets and things were going fairly well at a certain point in the game. The Hornets make a run. They're up. The Lakers try to come back. LeBron has a big fourth quarter. And then final play of the game, LeBron catches the inbound. I don't know if you saw this play, Krishna. Goes towards the basket. His shoe flies off. Kicks it to the corner for the game-winning three. Doesn't go in. LeBron's just sitting there without a shoe on. He just doesn't even get up. And it was like, ooh, this is a tough way to end my it was great to see a game that was close, that was exciting, but you know, Lakers didn't get the win. That was a tough one. So me and my friend are like, all right, well, time to go sit in traffic, time to get out of LA. And as we're walking out, I see there's like, if you've ever been to crypto.com arena, there's like, I don't know, 60 hot dog vendors outside. And I walk by one and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of thinking about getting a hot dog. I walk by another one and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get one. I'm kind of hungry. So there's like these two kids working it. So I get a hot dog for my friend and we're walking and it's a bacon wrapped hot dog and the bacon's like pretty charred. So I'm thinking like, you know, I need to bite down maybe a little harder than I normally do because it's got like a nice burnt bacon on the outside. And so I don't know, we're 5-10 minutes walking away from the stadium. And I'm like, oh, there's a little bacon piece right here. And I go to bite down like hard to crunch through it. And like, I don't know if you've ever been like electrocuted, but I have. And it was that feeling like went through my teeth. And I was like, I've never like burnt anything that is that hard before. I don't understand. and I pull out of my mouth, Krishna, do you want to guess what was in this hot dog?
No idea.
A full size screw.
Whoa. A screw.
A screw. Like a full screw, like the size of my pinky, was in this hot dog.
That's what?
I felt like I was in Vietnam. It hurt so my teeth were sore for like 3 days. I was really actually worried I broke a filling. I was like trying to like feel with like my tongue to like see if all my fillings, all like 9 of my fillings are still in on that side. Luckily, I think all the fillings still there. But man, it hurt bad.
Screw. That's crazy.
And it was like we were too far. What also it was like, I don't know. There was like it was like two like 13-year-old kids working this grill where it was like, what am I even gonna go do? Like, what am I even gonna go say to them? Never mind that they're like 10 minutes back the other way, and I don't know, there's like a sea of people. But that's my story of my first NBA game.
What a wild story. That's
You could not believe how surprised I was when I pulled a full screw out of my mouth.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's like
I have the picture.
It's, how does somebody put that in your food? Like, I'm just thinking like somebody's making food and like they're making your food and like how would you even like put a screw? Like, why would you like how would that get? Wow, I have so many questions. Like, why would that get in the food? Like, I understand if, like, there's, like, I don't know, like, a sauce packet in there or something like that. But a screw is wild.
A screw is insane. But, yeah, so.
It, you know what? Like, if there was, like, a ketchup bottle in there, that would make more sense. Like, a full ketchup bottle. Like, the same if someone just puts, like, a ketchup bottle in the middle of your sandwich. I feel like that would make more sense than a screw being in the sandwich.
So my only idea for why the screw was in there was so it's a bacon-wrapped hot dog. So the only thing I could possibly come up with was, I don't know, again, why you would do this, but because you don't want the bacon to slide off, which, again, use a toothpick, you would get your power drill and you'd put a screw through it. I've never seen that on the cooking channel.
I guess.
So all that wrapped up. That was my first basketball game, my first Laker game. I got to see Austin Reeves play. He had a pretty. At one point, he was leading the game in scoring in I think it was the early fourth quarter, and he was tied. He had 18 points. I think he was tied with LaMelo Ball, and I was like, well, this is pretty wild.
Wow. Yeah. So I pulled up some of the stats for my other guard, who is Derek White. And I think, you know, he's obviously on the best team in the NBA right now, Boston Celtics. And he's had an interesting season because, like, I haven't pulled up his defensive numbers, but I would imagine they are pretty good again. He's usually pretty good on defense. And I think some of the offensive numbers are interesting. I pulled up his 3-point shooting talent. He's got a B grade this year. That's up from a C minus last year. 3-point shot making is A minus, up from F last year. The quality is pretty much similar, pretty similar. The one thing is the catch and shoot 3-point shot making is still not that great. He's D plus this year versus D last year. Although he's traditionally been a pretty decent catch and shoot 3-point shooter. The interesting thing is the pull up 3-point shot making is a B plus this year, up from F last year. So the three, and if you just kind of look at his raw percentage this year, it's actually gone down a lot. let me pull this up
from earlier this year.
Yeah, from earlier this
week. Well, also, year. I mean, everyone on that team was shooting like 48% earlier in the year, so that had to come down.
So his actual three-point percentage is 38.2%, which would actually be a career high. It's gone down a ton because, like, I'm pretty sure at one point he was shooting like 48% from three or something. And the team has been in a three-point shooting slump for the last, few weeks. Broke out of it against the Bucks. But they've been in a bit of a 3-point shooting slump, which honestly was kind of expected given they were shooting absurd from three for most of the season. So I think overall their offense is kind of normalized a bit to where you might expect it to be. But yeah, the other two interesting stats for White, his finishing talent is at an F this year, which was very surprising. I didn't realize it was that poor, honestly, because he's traditionally been like the worst finishing talent grade he's had has been a B minus in the bubble season, and last year he was at an A minus. So he's usually a very good finisher. I would still expect he'll probably get there. The playmaking talent is at an A minus this year. He's a very good extra passer, very good passer, and just like your prototypical role player who's just kind of good at like all the role player things you want: defense, being a good connected passer, being even a pretty good driver too. Like, he's just kind of good at like the things you want your role players to be good at. And honestly, like, my hot take would be that, like, I would take him as a player over like Malcolm Brogdon, for example.
I saw you tweeted that out. That was a hot take.
No. Yeah. So my original tweet was about me taking Melton over Brogdon, which I am, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was about Melton. But like, basically, it's the whole archetype of like that type of player. Like, White is a similar type player as Melton. Doesn't have the minutes. Like, Melton would have been on this team if he was not like playing starter level minutes. And honestly, that may have happened if the Sixers were like fully healthy and they had Maxey and Harden playing most of the season. But since they've been basically missing one of Maxey or Harden this entire season, he's playing more starter level minutes, and his offensive I don't know if his offensive load might even be above 30. But yeah, so White was my other guard. And then just kind of moving to forward, I had Herb Jones and Kevin Love. And I think Herb Jones, like, I feel like by now everybody should know, like, he's a great defensive player. But the offense is the shooting specifically. Yeah, so in our 3-point shooting talent, last year he was at a C, this year he's at a D plus. In our catch and shoot 3-point shot making, and this is the most important for a role player, you want to be able to like space the floor. And this is admittedly where, you know, it might be tougher to put him on the team this year. He was at a B minus last year, which is, you know, good enough. And he's at an F this year. So that's kind of, hopefully that kind of goes up for him and for the team. And especially like he's got, like, the Pelicans have some other good wings, and Trey Murphy has been playing awesome. So, you know, unless that, you know, catch and shoot 3-point shot making goes up, he might end up losing like some minutes to Trey and Najee. And so I still think like the defense is still there. And my other forward was Kevin Love, who has been really good offensively off the bench. The Cavs bench unit, if you're looking at like with two starters or less on the court, the Cavs have the fifth highest offensive rating among teams with two starters or less on the court. And I think Kevin Love's kind of been a big part of that with, you know, obviously the shooting. And I think the other thing is like he's a sneaky good passer too. If we kind of pull up our playmaking talent, he's at a B plus this year. So a good playmaker for a role player. And I think just kind of being a part of a good bench unit and just shooting, you know, being a 3-point bomber the way he is the reason kind of why he's on my team. How about you? Who are your two forwards?
Yeah, Kevin Love shot the ball really well. Herb Jones, obviously a good defender. I actually went with Trey Murphy III because I was looking at the Pelicans as well. But I
didn't know he qualified.
Yeah, no, he qualifies.
Oh, okay. I might have picked him, honestly, because I think he's probably been a little better than Herb Jones.
Yeah.
I assumed he didn't qualify, I guess.
Now he qualified. Again, the qualifications for everybody at home, it's you got to have a total offensive load of under 30 and then play less than 30 minutes a game. But yeah, Trey Murphy has been a good catch and shoot shooter. He's got to be there. A finisher, has thrown down some pretty thunderous dunks. Has been just kind of solid everywhere else, you know, okay as a playmaker, okay on ball, okay in ball screens, where he's not killing you on value anywhere. And I expect that catch and shoot shot making to go up. It's a B right now. I think that could definitely be an A. He's got some touch. He can shoot from serious range behind the arc. I feel like he's been one of the better development stories as a role player this year. So I really like him. And then the other one, Malik Beasley, he got traded from the Timberwolves over to Utah in the Rudy Gobert trade. And he has just shot the lights out. He has an A in our catch and shoot, 3-point shot making, a B in mid-range shooting. And then again, he's kind of average everywhere else. But he had, of all the players I was looking at, he had the best off-ball shot making. So again, you need points, you need offense from your role players. Malik Beasley has been one of the better ones. I actually think he's a player. I'm not sure what the rules are on him getting traded because he was previously traded. But if I'm a team in the hunt, I think Malik Beasley has really taken a step into like that upper echelon of 3-point shooter. I don't think he's a 3-and-D player because the D's not really there, but as a 3-point shooter, it is seriously good value. So Malik Beasley, Trey Murphy III were my two wings. And then kind of finishing up, we're both selected one big. I assume, Krishna, we picked the same person, Nick Claxton.
Yep, mine was Claxton as well.
Nick Claxton has been so good that when I was making, you know, I kind of to make the thresholds to, because basically I kind of think about it this way, like you have your star players, right, that are going to make the normal all-star game, you have your starters, and then you have your role players. And so I was trying to figure out a way to get like most of like the starter level players out of there, and then Nick Claxton was one of those guys that I think just kind of slipped through the cracks. And he has been fantastic on defense this year. If you look at EPM, I think he is, what is he, he's eighth in EPM this year. He's been a big part of what the Nets have been doing. He's been anchoring their defense. He's been super great finishing around the rim, 96 percentile, and just raw field goal percentage at the rim. And he has just been what they need him to be. He's 99th percentile in block percentage. So that's mobile big that is switchable. I think we talked about him in our perimeter defense. He has a really good on-ball defensive grade this year, blocking a lot of shots, a modern-day disruptive defensive big. He's just been fantastic this year. So if you want to fill out a role player all-star ballot, it's your turn. The ballot is going to be in the description of the podcast. I think that wraps it up for our role player all-star selections. Again, we're going to get a Google form that we're going to tweet out, and it's going to have a player pool. You're going to be able to pick two guards, two wings, and a big. And then we're going to do another podcast once we get a bunch of results in, and then we'll share the results of what you guys have selected as your role player all-star. So my name is Taylor for Krishna. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index podcast.